Good morning to you all. You know, we're sharing together this morning, and for the moment, it's just another barrier. But when we gather around it as Christ's disciples, it's actually a gateway. Gateway into a very special Remembrance Sunday, Remembrance Table. And I don't know what this paperwork is here. Remembrance Day. Arising from wars and conflicts. And I guess when people came back, soldiers came back from First World War, the Second World War, other conflicts, even conflicts taking part now, there were new beginnings for all sorts of people. And in our studies on Ruth, we're thinking about new beginnings today. For families who were reunited as soldiers returned from conflict, there must have been joy, mustn't there, and hope, celebration, new expectations. But for those who'd lost loved ones, along with the obvious grief, there was no doubt a sense of emptiness, of hopelessness, of helplessness. A new beginning for them, but a very different new beginning to those who'd welcomed loved ones home. Life is full of new beginnings for each one of us. We're going to have a look at Ruth, chapter 2 this morning, really. And I have some willing volunteers who've been coerced into bringing you this story. So could we have Naomi, please? Ruth? Boaz? Perhaps if Ruth and Naomi go there, our narrator will go there, and Boaz, you can have this. I'd like you up there. Thank you. And I want you to volunteer as well, because you're the men, or the workers in the field. That's quite appropriate, that, really. Because you are the workers in the field. And so this is your part. When Boaz says, "The Lord be with you," you all respond with, "The Lord bless you." Can we try that, Boaz?
The Lord be with you.
The Lord bless you. Good. Okay. Let's go, Mr. Narrator.
Naomi had a relative named Boaz, a rich and influential man who belonged to the family of her husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth said to Naomi,
"Let me go to the fields to gather the corn that the harvest workers leave. I am sure to find someone who will let me work with him."
"Go ahead, my daughter."
So Ruth went out to the fields and walked behind the workers, picking up the corn which they left. It so happened that she was in a field that belonged to Boaz. Sometime later, Boaz himself arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the workers.
"The Lord be with you."
"The Lord bless you."
Boaz asked the man in charge,
"Who is that young woman?"
"She's the foreign girl who came back from Moab with Naomi. She asked me to let her follow the workers and pick up the corn. She's been working since early morning and has just now stopped to rest for a while under the shelter.
Then Boaz spoke to Ruth.
Let me give you some advice. Don't pick up corn anywhere except this field. Work with the women here. Watch them to see where they are reaping and stay behind them. I've ordered my men not to molest you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars that they have filled.
Ruth bowed down with her face touching the ground.
Why should you be so concerned about me? Why should you be so kind to a foreigner?
I've heard about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. I know how you left your father and mother and your own country, and how you have come to live among a people you have not known before. May the Lord reward you for what you have done. May you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you have come for protection.
You are very kind to me, sir. You have made me feel better by speaking gently to me, even though I'm not the equal of one of your servants.
At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth,
come and have a piece of bread and dip it in the sauce.
So she sat with the workers, and Boaz passed some roasted grain to her. She ate until she was satisfied, and she still had some food left over. After she had left to go on picking up corn, Boaz ordered the workers,
let her pick up even where the bundles are lying, and don't say anything to her to stop her. Besides that, pull out some of the corn from the bundles and leave it for her to pick up.
So Ruth went on gathering corn in the field until evening. And when she had beaten it out, she found she had nearly 10 kilograms. She took the corn back into town and showed her mother-in-law how much she had gathered. She also gave her the food left over from the meal. Naomi asked her,
where did you gather all this? Whose field have you been working in? May God bless the man who took an interest in you.
So Ruth told Naomi that she had been working in a field belonging to a man named Boaz.
May the Lord bless Boaz. The Lord always keeps his promises to the living and the dead. That man is a close relative of ours, one of those responsible for taking care of us.
Best of all, he told me to keep picking up corn with his workers until they finished the harvest.
Yes, my daughter. It will be better for you to work with the women in Boaz's field. You might be molested if you went to someone else's field.
So Ruth worked with them and gathered corn until all the barley and wheat had been harvested. And she continued to live with her mother-in-law. The end.
Thank you, cast. Thank you, crowd. So Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem, seeking to relieve their plight. A new beginning. Naomi comes home crushed by her situation. She's embittered towards God. She's full of self-pity. Let's be slow to judge her, and by extension others, in a similar plight. Now Ruth arrives with her, a stranger in a new land, a foreigner in a new environment, a Moabite in a Jewish culture. She's got her own problems, and yet she's still concerned for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi returns dispirited, while Ruth, accompanying her, is no doubt apprehensive, but somehow, underneath all that, she's hopeful of the new possibilities that there may be. She's committed to this relationship that's grown up between her and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And that particularly is marked by that beautiful confession that we heard in previous weeks, where she says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." The same God. Same God for Naomi. The same God for Ruth. But for Naomi, God is the cause of sorrow. For Ruth, he is the God of possibility. Now, I don't intend to repeat that story, which was so beautifully delivered to us by these near professionals. But in a nutshell, Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem destitute. Ruth goes out to gather what scraps she can, gleaning in the fields. She catches the eye of Boaz. He has compassion on her. And lo and behold, she comes home with a plentiful supply of food. Just a word on this gathering scraps, on gleaning. Because it's worth us noting the concern that God has for the poor. And here we've got examples of the poor. Ruth, Naomi. God is concerned for the poor, the hungry, the impoverished. And he's not only concerned, he's concerned to act. He's concerned about practical provision. His welfare plan for the unfortunate is found in Leviticus. Let's read Leviticus. Well, some people are smiling. I think that's ironic smiles, actually. Because Leviticus can seem very dry, it can seem boring. But listen to this. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest, the droppings, the leftover bits. Leave them for the poor and the alien, the foreigner. I am the Lord, your God." So there, smack in the midst of instructions for worship, for feast days, for celebrations, for harvest, is this little gem. Practical help to the dispossessed. It's not separated out from religion. It's mixed up in the worship instructions. And we're immediately reminded of Jesus' comment to that Pharisee who asked him, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law, and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And Joe reminded us of the first part of that last week. He spoke into that. The royal law, some theologians call call this summary of Jesus. So the Bible doesn't separate out spiritual and physical in a way that we often tend to do. Our Creator, who made the very earth a physical place and clothed us with our bodies, physical things, is concerned for our spiritual welfare and our physical welfare. Our everyday living life welfare. So even in the Old Testament, provision for social care is encapsulated in God's law. And that's just one tiny example. The picking over of a harvested field. An expression of God's practical care found in Leviticus. And it's this compassionate provision of God that Ruth takes advantage of as she goes into the fields to see what she can find. Salvation, we think of as a spiritual matter. It is, but it encompasses every aspect of life. And we see this principle continue to be worked out in the story of Ruth and Naomi, thanks to a man whose faith is demonstrated in his actions. The hero of the hour is Boaz. So we observe these three characters, three main characters: Naomi, Ruth, Boaz. Naomi's despair, bitterness, seems to prevent her from acting to help herself. She's crippled, she's frozen into inaction. Ruth's hanging in there. It's tough, but she's hanging in there. She's doing her best for herself and for Naomi. Boaz is there for both of them. He is their saviour. He is the one who provides salvation, eventually, from their plight. So prophetically, Boaz is a picture of Jesus. He's a Jesus figure in the Old Testament. What's he do? He steps in to save. And in doing so, he provides for Ruth's immediate needs. His protection gives her a sense of security. His promises give her a sense of peace. His provision of food maintains her life. As a stranger, she finds a welcome. As a foreigner, she finds acceptance. As a Moabite, she finds equal status. Jesus' words in Matthew come to mind. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And then Paul in Galatians, he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. New beginning, new possibilities for Ruth because of the Saviour Boaz, a picture of Jesus, Hey, new beginnings, new possibilities, every day, because of our Saviour, Jesus. In Him we're a new creation. We're forgiven. We're freed from guilt. We have a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when we mess up and share that with God, confessing our sins, the Bible calls it, God is faithful. And He forgives us. And He cleanses us from sin and all unrighteousness, all the wrong things. New beginnings. All the while possible through Jesus. But that's not the end of the story, is it, Ruth? The ripple effect of Boaz's dealings with Ruth brings restoration to Naomi, this embittered woman. Her heaviness of heart is healed. Her misery of mind is mended. Her bitterness towards God abates as she gives thanks to Boaz. Praise is on her lips. Transformation, a new beginning for Naomi. And it's a new beginning for Boaz as well. Intrigued by this foreigner, this young woman in his fields, gleaning, picking up the corn, he hears of and is touched by her dedication to Naomi. His obedience to God's instructions to care for the poor and the alien has brought him into contact with the one who will eventually become his wife. The bridegroom and the bride. Ring any bells? Echoed in the relationship of Jesus and his church, the Saviour and the saved. So, to conclude, to wrap up, the new beginnings for these two refugees from disaster now holds a glimmer of brighter things to come. Life for each of us is full of new beginnings. Some we look forward to, some we dread. But each beginning opens up new possibilities and new opportunities. And the story challenges us in various ways. We're challenged by the desperate plight of Naomi. You may be feeling a bit like Naomi today. You may be feeling God is far away. He's feeling pretty close, because that's where He is. Close. But if you're feeling like Naomi, be bold enough to share your burdens and let others, even this morning, sitting close with you, let them pray for you. And more difficult, because we seem to resist help, let them help you in practical ways, if that's what you need. We're challenged by the resilience of Ruth, hanging in there despite her own difficulties. Her faith in the God of Israel has encouraged her to keep going in the hope of better things to come. And if you're feeling like Ruth this morning, well, I want to encourage you to hang in there. God is with you and will lead you on. And you may need prayer as well, because you're just hanging on. And you need a firmer grip. Ask somebody to pray with you. We're challenged by the person of Boaz, a man whose faith was clearly expressed in the way he lived. Love for God. Yep. Love for God. But also love for his fellow man, demonstrated in his practical concern for the needy. Boaz, an Old Testament picture of Jesus. Praise God then that because of Jesus, each day is a new beginning as we walk where he leads. And who knows what new beginnings others may experience because of Jesus at work in our lives, as he reaches out through us to touch them. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and say, what a good fellow he is." No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Will you turn with me in your pew Bibles or seat Bibles, if you're pedantic, to 1184, and we read together from Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. So the bottom of that page there. Okay, so we're reading this to each other to encourage each other on our way this morning. Ready? Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. Amen. Amen.